Waking up has never felt this good.
I love the music.
Best music.
Breakfast with Friends on CCFM 107.5.
And it's kind of like a bit of a school reunion this morning because our Story of Hope guest knows Megan Schulder because they went to the same high school at some point in their schooling career.
And I have to ask, did you also go to the red school?
No, I actually went to Pinelands Blue.
Oh, okay.
So you were like the rival.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I just missed that. Red and blue.
There's three different like color schools in Pinelands. So it's okay. Red, blue and green.
No way.
Because they're all called Pinehurst. So the green is Pinehurst Primary. The red is Pinelands North Primary. And the blue is Pinelands Primary. So it gets a bit confusing.
Wow, that's why they just called red the blue school and the green school.
Yeah.
Well, Saskia, last week you sent a message to wish your son, who's 1 year old and in studio, busy checking out the chair and everything, a happy birthday message. And in your message, I just realized, hey, there's a bigger story. And that's why we asked you to come and share your personal story of hope. So thank you very much for organizing your aunt to come with, for organizing yourself. I know that mornings can be quite challenging when you're a parent. But we just look forward to hearing this miracle story of what God has done in your guys' lives.
Okay, thank you so much to Jonathan and Megan for having me today. Just to start it off, about 5 years ago, just over 5 years ago, I was in a lot of pain and I actually was rushed off to the ER and it was actually discovered that I had an ectopic pregnancy. So what that means is the pregnancy was actually in one of my fallopian tubes. And that makes it a non-viable pregnancy, but it also means that it's extremely dangerous in that if your fallopian tube ruptures, you can actually like bleed to death and die. But at that stage, I didn't actually know that I was pregnant. And so it was a big shock to me getting into emergency and then going for emergency surgery. And when I had come out of surgery, they explained to me that I have something that's called polycystic ovarian syndrome. So it's PCOS. And also something that's called endometriosis. So both of that is an endocrine disorder, which means that there's a hormone imbalance which starts on your brain, but it actually, the symptoms of that is infertility, painful heavy periods. Endometriosis actually means that like your womb lining actually grows outside the womb. So it will grow on the ovaries, it will grow around your organs. And so that was basically the news that I received, and the doctor said that the best way to make sure that I'm not in as much pain and I have to go through all of these surgeries all the time to remove all of that uterine lining was actually to have a hysterectomy. Right.
Oh, and so there's no chance of ever falling pregnant.
And that's what, you know, the professor at Groteske as well, because I went through doctors and doctors and doctors at Groteske over a year period. And just before my 21st birthday, they told me the best thing for you to do is actually just to have a hysterectomy. You won't have to worry about all of this pain and being in and out of surgery.
And were you married at this stage?
So I wasn't actually married yet. I had just gotten engaged and kids were something that I had thought about, you know, when I'm 30. Yeah. When I'm 30, we can have kids. It's something that I'll think about later. It wasn't something that I was thinking about right away. And I think that even though I always knew that I wanted to be a mom, when they told me that, you know, this is the best course of action, it made me just like reassess everything. And so at that stage, I became a little bit obsessed with like getting better. Like how can I, what can I do to get better? How can I, like what can I do to increase my chances? What can I do? What can I do? What can I do?
Because the hysterectomy is not something you wanted to do.
Not at all. And in this stage, I started being like, you know, Lord, I had sex before marriage. Is this punishment for that? You know, I did all these things to, like, I was rude to that one girl one time. Is this catching up to me?
Yeah.
And that period of time, like leading up to my wedding as well, because I had gotten engaged, I questioned so many things about like who I am and why this is happening to me. And I always thought like, is this punishment? But the beautiful thing was that it wasn't punishment at all, because that's actually not who God is.
Yeah.
And so that entire journey, especially leading up to like getting married and preparing myself to be a wife, was just realizing that God loves me and he's faithful. And the word says that like the fruit of my womb, like there'll be fruit, like I'm fruitful. Mm-hmm. And he's just faithful. He's so faithful like that. And so it was just this whole journey of understanding that God isn't a punisher, that it is, he isn't trying to get back at me for anything. It was literally just him being like, I love you. This is what the doctor said, but the word of God actually says that as Jesus is, so are you. And wow. By his stripes, you are healed. And so it took like 3 years for me to get to that point of complete surrender.
Not trying to do things in your own will, trying to...
And just understanding that God's grace is sufficient, and that we're under a new covenant with, and Jesus paid the price for everything. He's not holding me accountable for anything. And during that time, leading up to this, I became extremely depressed. And I was on antidepressants for 1.5 years. At one stage, I thought that like I was ready to take my life, because I was just like, this is the worst thing that can ever happen to me. And it's crazy that you never think about it before until you're actually in that situation of you can't have this and this isn't going to happen for you. But again, it's just that God's grace met me there. And so it's been like 3 years, no antidepressants, no anxiety medication. So that's amazing. There was a lot of lessons in the like the build up almost to falling pregnant with Callum. And so I'd gotten married in November of 2017. And so my husband and I were like, okay, let's go and see a fertility specialist. And so that's what we did. In December of 2017, we saw a fertility specialist. And they said, look, what they've said before is completely right. Like the chances of you having kids is less than 2% chance. And if you do have a viable pregnancy, because of all the surgery that I've had to remove growths in my womb and the treatments and those types of things to get the endometriosis under control and the fibroids and all of those types of things, what would happen is that even if a egg plants itself into the uterine wall, the placenta may rupture because it's so scarred. And so that's a chance that like it would become non-viable and I would have a miscarriage. So that puts myself and obviously the baby's life in danger. So we were like, okay, let's try anyway, right? I was like, let's try anyway. And so off we go, and I go on this course of medication and I have to do injections and all of these things, and they're doing scans all the time. And so the first month passes and I go and have a scan done, and they're like, this actually, your body's just not making any eggs. Your body's just not producing any eggs. It's not responding to the medication at all. Like, we've told you this. And at this stage, they pass me a card to a psychologist and they're like, you need to make peace with this and get over it. Oh. So I'm like, look, I'm not a quitter. Like, let's just try it one more time. And so we go back for another round of treatment. And exactly the same thing happens. So they up, they double the dose. And they just like, we've told you that this is not happening. Like, come back in 2 weeks and we can chat about other options. And I knew at that stage that they were probably going to talk to me about like adoption. Surrogacy isn't like really an option in South Africa because I don't have millions of rands to actually pay a lawyer and do all of those things. So I think that they would probably have spoken to us maybe about doing IVF. But the problem with IVF is you need eggs, and my body wasn't making any eggs. So off I go, and something just told me to insist for them to do a full blood panel. I said, look, I know we've done this before. Let's just do a full blood panel. Let's just check all my hormone levels. Let's see what's going on. And so that's what they do. And when they called me back with the results, and I remember it was a Tuesday. It was actually in April. And they called me back with the results, and the doctor said, are you sitting down? And I was like, I thought like, oh my word, okay, am I dying? Like, what's happening? And I was at work that day, and they called me back and they said, you'll never ever believe it, Mrs. Langford, but you're pregnant. And so, you know, a few days earlier, they did a scan and everything, and there was nothing there. And when they called me with the results, I was about 4 weeks pregnant already.
Wow.
And so it really just shows that all the treatments and everything, it was absolutely God. You know, I can't say I ate certain things or I did certain things or the doctor gave me certain medications. It was absolutely God. But at that stage as well, it was just the beginning of the journey. Because I had growths in my womb during my pregnancy as well, it made it extremely high risk. I developed gestational diabetes during my pregnancy. And then hypothyroidism as well. So my thyroid was a little bit crazy and high blood pressure. So when I was about 4 months pregnant, I was in and out of hospital like every second week. But through that entire time, no matter how I was feeling, Callum was always fine. The baby was always okay. His heartbeat was always strong. And even like giving birth and so on, it was a normal birth experience. It's not like the greatest, like birth is painful. But it was beautiful and it was normal. So when he was born, he was completely normal. He was actually a really big baby. He was like 4 kilos when he was born. Wow. He was super healthy. And hearing him cry for the first time was like the best feeling ever, because we were like, oh, praise the Lord, like this is done and he's here. And so I condensed it quite a bit because obviously there was a lot going on in between. But the entire process, I mean, being 20 years old and then being told that you can't have kids, up until the day that he was born last year, it was difficult, but it's so worth it. And I look at him now running around and it's literally like the best thing ever.
So you've got a walking, noise-making one-year-old that yes. reminds you daily, God is a God of miracles. He's a God of the impossible.
Yes. And his birthday party theme was Noah's Ark. And I just said, we just had a little moment at the beginning of his party, and I literally just said that it's a reminder of God's goodness, that there's a rainbow. You know, his name actually means peace and king of doves. And at the end of Noah's Ark, a dove comes and brings an olive branch. And so you don't know when God planted that olive tree for that dove to bring you that branch, you know, at the end of the story. But just keep building your ark. Like, just keep believing that God's word is God's word. And that's what the truth is. It doesn't matter what you try to make it out in your head. It doesn't matter how you try to rationalize it, because it literally doesn't make sense that Callum's with us and that, you know, I'm a mom now. It makes no sense. And even like my health issues and stuff is a thing of the past. Like, there's literally no way to explain that things that is lifelong chronic illness for it to disappear. That makes no sense. But it's gone. The doctors haven't spoken to me about the hysterectomy again. So it's literally just God's goodness and his timing.
What I want to ask you is just to end off with a prayer, because I'm sure there are moms and families listening and they've got heartache because of infertility or a doctor's report or whatever. Just pray as the Holy Spirit guides you, please.
Sure. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity today just to share about your goodness and your faithfulness, Father. And today I just want to pray for all these women or these couples that are struggling with infertility, Father God. There's so many cases in the Bible, Father, where there was women that were struggling to fall pregnant, but it's never listed why. And so it doesn't matter the why, Father. It doesn't matter what the doctor's reports have to say. Your word says different. Your word says that we are healthy and that we are whole and that we are fruitful, Father God. And so I just release fruitfulness into the wombs of all the women that is struggling with fertility, whether it's women or men, Father God, that you will just comfort them, that you will strengthen them, and that your perfect timing, Father God, will bring forth an offspring for them, Father God, and that they will have children, Father, that you will just remind them about your goodness and your faithfulness and how much you love them, Father God. And no matter how dark and stormy it seems now, Father, there is a rainbow coming. The sun will shine, Father, and you will come through for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Saskia, thank you so much for coming, for sharing your incredible story of hope with us this morning. God bless you.
Thank you.
Waking up has never felt this good.
I love the music. Love the music.
Best music.
Breakfast with Friends on CCFM 107.5.